sorry to interrupt me, but wanted to let you know we have a spring matching gift campaign. This is a big deal. Mega plans. We're launching more podcasts. We're publishing a new book this year. We're going to more campuses this year. We desire to exalt Jesus Christ. And right now we have a no retreat matching gift campaign because we're not going to back down. We're not going to back off. We're not going to lighten up. We're not going to not go to places where it might be hostile to preach the gospel. Would you kindly consider supporting us during the Spring Match campaign? It really helps the ministry to keep doing more and more and more, and we have plans to do far beyond what we are currently doing now. So if you currently have extra means you're already giving to your church, would you please consider joining us on the No Retreat Matching Gift Campaign at fortisinstitute.org/donate? Now, back to me.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity and sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't like what you're about to hear, blame Jimmy. My hands are clean of this whole business. Well, mostly. This is Wretched Radio. Who is this woman standing in a pulpit, apparently in some sort of religious assembly?
Yeah, I don't know who she is. I don't know her name, but she's a woman in a pulpit.
That's it.
That's all I'm going to say.
Do we know the pulpit? Do we know the denomination?
Yes. Yes, it's United Church of Christ. Well,
you could have just stopped with United. It's the uni rule. Yep. You and I, you got yourself some problems. And I suspect we're going to hear some.
We actually had a booth yesterday in Anaheim at the No Kings protest.
The No Kings protest. Apparently, they're concerned that our current president is a king. Now, look, I could be wrong about history, but it seems to me if we actually had a king at this moment, you wouldn't be having a protest. Because you'd be scattered. It wouldn't be allowed.
But we know that there were people all over the county and even beyond who were standing up for democracy.
Oh, yes, democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a representative republic. Furthermore, and I know this is going to sound, no, it's not going to sound bad. Here's why, because I'm going to couch it in therapeutic language. I'm merely expressing myself. I'm merely sharing how I feel on the inside. Every single time when I hear a woman preaching authoritatively, it rankles me. I'm just telling you, it just grates. This woman,
we're committed to speaking up for trans rights, for queer rights, for immigrant rights, for women's rights, for science and education and peace and pluralism.
Now, did she emphasize women more than transgender? Because that would be, I think that's showing bias. That's unfair. And I think she's oppressing transgender people. Hey, two can play this game.
So thank you if you were out. Anybody out yesterday?
Okay. Show of hands, church. What about this side? Show me over on this side.
I was out. And last night, we invited Flamey Grant
to excellent.
Present for us.
Baby.
Flamey Grant. Like Amy Grant?
Yeah, we got it. We got it. I tied my shoe, like, you know, the thing that goes on your foot. Jimmy, El Shaddai. That was her biggie. I know she had a bunch of hits. She was contemporary Christian music in the very beginning, like the most popular current version, along with Michael W. Smith, but I can't think of anything more than El Shaddai, except the contemporary stuff that she did that made a lot of evangelicals upset. Speaking of upsetting.
But she's a drag queen, and believe it or not, this music was so powerful.
It was so powerful.
Transformative. Transformative.
Was she doing it? Any? Okay.
Tuesday, we are hosting, I have a flyer, I didn't get it on the screen yet, but we're hosting at, we like to say, our corner on Culver and Alton, a Trans Visibility Day awareness.
I don't understand. Okay, I do. Why these liberal churches find a cause? It's because they're not obeying the cause of our King. Jesus has told the church what he expects of it. Here's why we are here. We're being built up in a spiritual house. For what purpose? To proclaim his excellencies. Your church shouldn't be struggling to figure out its mission and vision statement. Jesus wrote it for us. These churches that abandon the gospel, that determine that theology is just too, you know, constricting, constraining. It just doesn't let us have as much fun as we want to. They abandon that. They got to come up with some sort of cause. Otherwise, why do people go? To just sit around and chat? You can do that any place in the comfort of your own home, frankly. They need a cause, and they simply adopt things that are unbiblical. All right, Jimmy, I found this. UMC agency supports legalizing trans surgeries for kids. Mm. There's another uni right there. You got United. That is usually the sign. UNI rule. You're looking at something liberal. The bishop of the general secretary of the United Methodist Church's General Board of Church and Society. You know, you shouldn't have to take a breath in the middle of somebody's title. It's probably a good rule. If you have to breathe in the middle of your title, it's too long. Published an article. Basically, adult transgender people, they're being oppressed. So we've got to be for them. They experience all kind of bad things. And so we are going to be all about gender affirming care. The senior executive director of communications of the blah, 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 said that reflects the position of the United Methodist Church. Cool. There you have it. And now in the meantime, related story, this is going to be a problem. If you speak against those things in Canada, you're going to be in some big trouble. They just passed. Now, it hasn't made it all the way through the Senate yet, but it did just pass in the, what we'll call the House of Commons, because that's what it's actually called, 186 to 137, that if you say something even based on a religious book, because they scrapped that protection from their legislation, that if you quote something from a religious book that makes somebody feel bad, because it sounds like hate speech, guess what? You've broken a law. So I guess the moral to the story is Jimmy's favorite female pastor isn't going to get arrested in Canada anytime soon. Speaking of female pastors, I got one for you, Jimmy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Paula White.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what was that sound?
Was that out loud?
Was your microphone on? Yeah, it was. Paula White, she's the whatever they call her at the President Trump.
Faith advisor or something.
Holds Easter lunch event at the White House. Prepare yourself.
And Mr. President, no one has paid the price like you have paid the price. It almost cost you your life.
Well, I can think of some presidents that it did cost their life, but history aside.
You were betrayed. And arrested.
Oh, no. No.
And falsely accused.
Oh, no.
It's a familiar pattern.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, no.
That our Lord and Savior showed us.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. That's a little too close. No.
But it didn't end there for him, and it didn't end there for you.
Well, except Jesus died. His ear didn't get nicked. Now, I'm not minimizing the wickedness of that act, but it doesn't come close to the brutal murder of our Savior who actually died and who actually rose again. Oh, no.
God always had a plan. On the third day, he rose. He defeated evil.
She doesn't know what she's talking about. And Donald Trump doesn't appear to understand it. Franklin Graham wrote a letter that was just published on Palm Sunday by the president, where Franklin Graham, in response to Donald Trump saying he didn't know if he was going to go to heaven, if he's doing enough good stuff to get there, where Franklin Graham actually said, you kind of got this wrong. That's not the way that it works. that's not how you get. Oh, here it is right here. I got it. All right. This week, you commented to the media that you might not be heaven bound. Maybe you responded in jest, but it is an important issue to know for certain that your soul is secure and you'll spend eternity in the presence of God. The only one who can save us from hell is Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. I can't save myself. That's cool. I've just got quotes from the letter. I don't have the entire thing. I hope that he talked about the character and the nature of God and why hell is a reasonable response to our law breaking, because otherwise, it's without context, hell doesn't make a whole lot of sense. He wrote, good works, prominence, and success are powerless to gain entry into heaven. The only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Well done, Franklin. How can anybody who understands that stand behind this woman and hear what she's saying without going, okay, Paula, thank you. Back to your office.
He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he rose, we all know that we can rise. And sir, because of his resurrection, you rose up.
What? What? What verse is that?
Because he was victorious, you were victorious.
More and more, I am struck by the incoherence of so much preaching, if we can call this that, or any sort of Christian oratory. I read through the incoherent Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally, her preaching, her sermon at the installation. It's incoherent. It's mumbo jumbo. It doesn't make any sense. And in Paula White's case, more than that, this is just totally blasphemous. And why people are so able to this, honestly, it could just be me. But it seems to me right now, if we've got something in Christianity and evangelicalism that we should be going, hey, follow, you can't be doing that. It would be incoherent preaching. Don't you worry. If you haven't had enough of that, Jimmy has more for you. Next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, here's something that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, but it's really easy for us to treat our faith sometimes like a category. A Sunday is Sunday. Work is work. Parenting is parenting. And somewhere in there, you try to be a Christian, but it doesn't always feel like it's all connected. That's why Dr. John Krotz and his podcast Integrated is so incredibly important. Dr. Krotz is a pastor. He's an author. He's a biblical counselor, and he's a Fortis Institute fellow and the host of Integrated, and he is helping people see how scripture speaks to every part of their life. Not just the spiritual stuff, but the practical, everyday, how do I actually live this stuff out stuff. And if what we're doing at Fortis Institute has been a source of encouragement for you, I want to ask you to consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Help us continue producing content just like Integrated that connects the dots. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now and find out how to join us. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Know your church fathers. Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And sir, because of his resurrection, you rose up. because he was victorious, you were victorious. And I believe that the Lord said to tell you this.
Nope, he didn't. This is Wretched Radio. Paula White speaking right in front of the president and apparently a cavalcade of preachers at an Easter shindig at the White House, comparing Donald Trump to our Lord and Savior. This could be a new low for Paula White. And believe me, she's been low.
Wherever I go, God rules. When I walk on White House grounds, God walks on White House grounds. I had every right and authority to declare the White House as holy ground because I was standing there, and where I stand is holy.
Oof-ta. Paula White. Not only has she been wildly unbiblical for decades, she's a prosperity preacher who, at least based on what I've heard now for a minute at this White House Easter affair, is joining the cavalcade of preachers these days that are incoherent. And if we have any sort of evangelical concern on the horizon, I would offer incoherence is one of them. I have noticed this increasingly, especially when it comes to gospel presentations, how they are so disjointed, they are so out of order, they're so often lacking in the details necessary for somebody to actually understand what the gospel is. And we have a tendency to just accept them because, well, it's all Christian language. It's just they're using biblical terms and stuff. And yeah, that is a part of the gospel. But so many gospel presentations, it's like, well, there's a part here. Oh, that part. Oh, okay, that's here. And they move that over there. But it's missing all the, it doesn't make any sense. If you listen to a lot of evangelical preaching, especially when it comes to the core of our faith, preaching the gospel, pretend that you know nothing, honey, about anything Christian. Would it make sense to you? And the answer so often is no. On Monday, I had the joy of being with some really bright-eyed and bushy-tailed students at Georgia Tech. It was really a treat. There's some good kids on university campuses. Georgia Tech, just getting prettier and prettier. At 6:30 in the morning, that's right, 6:30 in the morning, I got to spend some time with student leaders talking about how to present the gospel. And when I then went out to the campus, I was reminded why we need to do that. It's because most people everybody we talked out into the campus that had any sort of Christian knowledge, they didn't know the gospel. They just didn't. Why? Because I don't think that they're ever hearing it in a coherent fashion. And so we laid down, here are all of the elements that must be inside of a gospel presentation. Otherwise, it's not like you're trying to sin, but I don't think we're being faithful to being ambassadors for Christ, who must prepare and present his entire message. It needs to make sense to people. Over the past decades, when you consider what are the assaults that we have seen? Now, we've seen the NAR movement. We've seen the lordship issue. We've seen unbiblical ecumenism assaulting evangelicalism. I would suggest to you this one is sneakier and more subtle because it kind of passes. It's like, I understood what they were saying, kind of. That's not good enough. It's not good enough. We need to raise the bar. And now we've got Easter Sunday coming up. I fear how many pastors will never find their way to the gospel. And I suspect if they leave out anything, it will be these elements. They will leave out the judicial nature of the gospel. They will leave out the character and the nature of God. They will leave out the eternality of hell. They will leave out repentance and faith. Now, that's a lot. They'll use lingo that is all Christian sounding. And they'll maybe even say something like, hey, you know, Jesus died for our sins. And that seems to be acceptable. It's not. Especially if somebody's an unbeliever. Look, if it's all Christians, that's one thing. But if it's a mixed group of people, which it will be on Easter Sunday, To just say that Jesus died for sinners and then claim you've preached the gospel, you have not. What is sin? Who is Jesus? Why did he have to die? Who's so offended that I would be damned for forever? All of those elements need to be explained to people, or we are not delivering the gospel coherently. And speaking of incoherent, let's finish this torture that Jimmy prepared for us.
Because of his victory, you will be victorious in all you put your hand to.
That's what Jesus told Paula to tell the president. That's extra biblical revelation.
Amen.
Why the applause?
Because God is with you and God is using you to defeat evil, to restore families, to awaken the church, to harvest the nations, and to bring a worldwide revival.
To harvest the nation. He's using, oh, okay. Again, huh? What?
So I'm going to ask something. Would you all stand and just, if you're comfortable, stretch your hand towards our president. And even if Reverend Graham, you'd like to lay hands on him and Pastor Robert. And just come in agreement with me. For 2 Chronicles 7:14 declares,
there we go.
If my people who are called by my name.
Those would be the Jewish people under that covenant at that time.
Will humble themselves and pray.
Now listen to the details.
Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. So today we humble ourselves and we seek you, Lord Jesus. You declared in Proverbs 14:34 that it said the righteousness exalts a nation. So we declare righteousness over.
There's declaring. Okay. So that's word faith business, and on it goes with the piano tinkling in the background. That's just perfect. Let me share with you a snippet from the Archbishop of Canterbury. She was just installed. I have to tell you, I saw the footage. For a human being, male or female, to dress up in that garb with the staff, to parade through a church, and to be elevated with pomp and circumstance, I just found galling. That belongs to our Savior, not human beings. We're there to lift him up, not for ourselves to be exalted. I have the text of her sermon, and I won't read the whole thing to you because it's too much. But perhaps this will serve as an example of the incoherence that I so often hear when it comes to preaching. She wrote that, she said this, in the incarnation. So this paragraph that you're about to hear, this is about the incarnation. God became flesh. We see God becoming one of us. And this gives me such hope for the church. In the ordinary and extraordinary life of the church, we see God's hand at work, the church rolling up its sleeves and getting stuck in where God is already at work in the local and the global. The church, through the ordinary lives of its people, continues to do so many extraordinary acts of love. God's people offering a listening ear, a word of encouragement, or a prayer of healing, offering food, shelter, sanctuary, and welcome in a world that so often seeks to divide us, tables to sit at, conversations to be shared, and being a simple loving presence like the salt of the earth, a light on the hill, the treasure of the kingdom, a church for the whole nation and for the world, which looks for ways of joining in with people of all faiths and of none in acts of service, which will transform. A church will extend around the world with our sister churches in the Anglican Communion and as part of one holy Catholic and apostolic church to embody Christ's love. I have to work really hard to see what that had to do with the incarnation. There is a connection. She just didn't explain it. And really, if I were grading a speech, I would be like, if this came across my desk for proofing, I'd be like, no, this is not coherent. No, this your premise is in the incarnation. Now you start talking about the church doing all kinds of stuff. Did you mean to imply that the church is the incarnation of God on the earth? Well, you probably should try to explain that, and you better do it delicately because it's kind of a tricky little subject to express. We have to stop putting up with preaching that I don't think would pass, that shouldn't pass any seminary class. Although I'm thinking, if these pastors went to seminary and they took homiletics, which they should have, what are they teaching there? How are they helping them to think better and to present better, especially when it comes to the issue of the gospel? I think the amount of energy that we have put into trying to war against some of the other assaults on the church, the issue of incoherent preaching deserves just as much energy, time, attention, and calling out, especially on Easter Sunday morning. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The International Olympics Committee has officially banned biological males from women's competitions. They've adopted a policy that requires a one-time SRY gene screening for all female category athletes starting with the 2028 LA Olympic Games. The president of the IOC, that's Kirsty Coventry, she's a former swimmer herself, and she said in some sports, it just simply wouldn't be safe. The Ohio House has passed the Indecent Exposure Modernization Act, which closes a pretty absurd loophole. The loophole once allowed a man to walk free after exposing himself to young girls in a YMCA locker room because existing law didn't clearly define exposure. Yeah, the bill criminalizes obscene performances in front of minors and safeguards the private spaces of women. Every single Democrat voted against it. And in Detroit, the Thomas More Society has filed federal lawsuit challenging a city ordinance that criminalizes pro-life sidewalk counseling outside abortion facilities. Kevin Hammer, a retired attorney, simply stands on a public sidewalk holding a sign that reads, "Ask me about free ultrasounds and pregnancy tests." For that, the abortion facility has called police on him multiple times and on one occasion summoned 5 patrol cars. The ordinance will create overlapping buffer and bubble zones that effectively make it a crime to offer women alternatives on a public sidewalk. The Thomas More Society has a track record of winning these fights, including a case in Minneapolis where the city paid over $450,000 in attorney's fees. A federal judge that was once appointed by Barack Obama has upheld North Carolina's voter ID law after previously blocking and ruling that voting rights groups failed to prove the requirement was discriminatory. Judge Loretta Biggs had initially cited the state's history of racial discrimination to issue an injunction in 2019, but higher courts pushed back and she acknowledged controlling precedent left her no choice. Meanwhile, the state of New Jersey seems to be sprinting the other direction on the rule of law. The newly elected governor has signed legislation making the state a sanctuary jurisdiction, barring agencies from cooperating with ICE, effectively rolling out a welcome mat for criminal illegal aliens in the Garden State. In Canada, a constitutional freedom group has launched a national petition against Bill C-22, which is legislation that would let the government compel tech and telecom companies to hand over Canadians' personal data. Canadians might want to pay a little bit closer attention before lawful access actually becomes a euphemism for "we're reading your email anytime we want." And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both can be done at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1545. The Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, it addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of variety. Why? We have a variety of stories. Do they make sense together? No, they don't. We like themes. Therefore, we've put together this concoction of stories, slapped a really lame theme song on them, and called it Wide World of Christian Stories. Yeah.
Are you good?
Oh, yeah, I'm real good. This is Wretched Radio. Hit my post, baby. Yeah,
you're standing straight up.
Yeah, I hit my post. This is the type of industry talk that happens in every profession. A group of workers in the same industry, they get together. It's after work. It's at the Christmas party. And they talk about their day or their week. And they talk about what they accomplished. Well, here it is in radio. I really nailed that post today on Wide World of Christian Stories, didn't I? That's it. That's radio industry talk right there. Let's go to Belgique, shall we? This is a publicly funded radio program that gets broadcast to children. They're at some sort of convention of sorts, and you're going to hear a lot of racket. Imagine it's a guy. Looks like it's a guy wearing some sort of a jumpsuit with a helmet and a face mask on. He's got a sledgehammer, and he's walking around smashing stuff, specifically a statue of the Virgin Mary.
Yeah! Let me ask.
Now, not only, by the way, is it a statue of the Virgin Mary? It's a statue of Jesus, too. Some reporter got together with the kids who put together this little radio presentation to ask them some questions. I don't know that it demands a lot of my commentary because the dude kind of nailed him to the wall. Why are you, as a publicly funded radio station, smashing Christian statues? Now, I know there are some people who would be all in favor of that because it's iconography. The point is, he's curious. Why Christian statues of Jesus and Mary only?
Let me ask you a question, because you mentioned respect, respecting each other. I'm thinking of respect towards all of the listeners. You played a video in there. What was it? The smashing video. You were doing a smashing class.
Yeah, we had a rage room because we were beating the blue out of the Monday. So people could text us like, I have a blue Monday because my car broke and everything. It was, okay, we'll smash something for you, Callum. Bam!
And you smashed.
And then he was out. They said like, wow, this really felt good.
And it was...
That helps, does it? There's therapy for somebody who's having a blue Monday right there. Just smash, have somebody vicariously smash something for you. Yes, that will ease your woes.
Pretty intense. And I saw in one part you had a statue of Jesus. Now, I know you laugh, but do you think that for many listeners, they would find that so deeply offensive to take a bat and to smash Jesus into pieces?
Wasn't it Madonna, by the way? No, it was... No.
There was one, I think, of Madonna, the Madonna and the Child, and there was one of Jesus.
So the thing, that's a very good question, because I think it might offend people. I think in Belgium, not really. We're not a very religious country.
So it's not offensive. And how not religious does it need to be for it to be offensive, son?
Definitely not the listeners of Studio Brussels, but what we did, all the things we smashed, we made it very clear as well that these were all things that were already broken. So the statue, it was turned face towards the back of the room, so you wouldn't see the face as well, because that was already, it was a broken statue.
Okay. Now, if you wanted to grab the microphone from the reporter to like go after this group of statue smashers, you don't need to. He's got this.
Well, but I think I would have been more careful in another country, definitely. In Belgium, it is not a big issue.
Let me ask you this. If you were doing the video again, would you smash a symbol of the Prophet Muhammad?
There it is! There it is. Now, at least the dude's honest.
That is a very dangerous one.
You wouldn't do it.
Typical.
You know, it's the price you pay for being the religion of peace. I mean, us. We are the religion of peace. No, I know they purport to be the religion of peace, but I think history has revealed they're a bellicose religion. And that actually, it does have some benefits. People don't smash your iconography.
No, because that would be inappropriate, because in Belgium there are many...
But there are Christians too. I know the Pope visited Belgium recently.
No, I know there are Christians, but it's... since we are all from the Christian tradition, I think it's like laughing with yourself.
What?
I think the word that we're looking for is busted.
Or like...
But you would never do it with Muhammad.
No.
Star of David for Judaism.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
It's the same thing. I think we have all been raised Catholic. So that...
They're just scrambling for anything here. We can do that because, well, we were raised Catholic.
Gives us a little more credit to do this, but it's harder if you do it from a religion that you know nothing about. I think that is very dangerous as well.
No, it's just dangerous.
No, some of the main ideas and teachings are the same. It's just interesting watching it. I cover spirituality and religion normally on the BBC and other networks.
By the way, the Muslims actually should be offended because in Islam, Jesus is a prophet.
So when you see it, you see that hypocrisy. Yeah. Jesus Christ, the statue, smash it in two, but never for Muhammad or for anything to do with the Jewish faith. No. And you have listeners who are Christians too, and it's taxpayer-funded VRT. It's the public broadcaster.
Absolutely, but I think you have to look at the specific audience of your station. I would definitely not do this on every station.
There's got to be some sort of term for that. Jason Lyle would know, like selective ethics. Well, if this, then doing that is okay. But if not, then it's not. No, it is either objectively wrong or it isn't.
But the Studio Brussels station is very alternative. So, we know that they're not very religious in any way.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's go to... Finnish land, shall we? Have you been tracking this story? I think we have here over the years because it's been going on for years. There's an MP, and I will not say her name right. P-A, and it's got a lot of dots above it. Is that an umlaut? P with an umlaut, I guess. V-I. Päivi? Ressenen. Found guilty of hate speech. What did this MP do? Well, the nerve of actually quoting a Bible verse. She happens to be a grandmother of 12, by the way. It was a 3-2 decision of making and keeping available to the public a text that insults a group. It was a tweet from 2019. She quoted Romans 1:24-27. She was rebuking the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland for promoting LGBT Pride Month, questioning how the church could agree with shame and sin being presented as a matter of pride. And guess what? Now, she has, I think historically, there were two other trials she was acquitted, but this one, she was actually found guilty. Why? They also dredged up a pamphlet that she published in 2004 with a bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland titled Male and Female, He Created Them. That's a Bible verse too. Homosexual relationships challenge the Christian concept of humanity. And it states inside of the pamphlet that homosexuality is disordered, which the court found was an opinion that could insult homosexuals as a group on the basis of their sexual orientation. Anybody thinking about Canada right now, the piece of legislation they just passed? Same thing. You offend somebody, you insult somebody, it's a crime. It's a crime to make somebody feel bad. How's about this, Jimmy? I wonder if they would have a piece of legislation in Canada. They might, actually. You know, rich people, I don't think that they should have all that money. Now, a rich person could hear that and be offended, so I could go to jail for that. No, just if you speak out against LGBTQ stuff. That's what we're really looking for here. She was ordered to pay a fine of $2,080, 1,800 euros. Hey, wait a second. 2000. Okay, that's so we're still on the wrong side. And the court prohibited physical and digital copies of the pamphlet from being distributed. She responded, "I stand by my teachings on my Christian faith and will continue to defend my and every person's right to share their convictions in the public square." To her, I say, well done, madam. And as long as we're speaking about LGBTQ stuff, let's go to Dallas. It looks like they're going to be removing 30 rainbow colored crosswalks. What they were doing there in the first place, don't know. But apparently it's in a part of town where that is there's a dense population of LGBTQ folks. They had put the crosswalks down and now they are saying, sorry, they can't be there because it's political speech. okay, I can live with that. It's political speech. And for some reason, I don't know why, but this particular story struck me when it comes to the issue of Christians and politics. If you've got more Christians in politics, you're simply going to have decisions that are going to be better and more biblical. So I think that if we want to see bad legislation overturned, well, then we need more Christian politicians. And you know what that means? We need more Christians. This is Wretched Radio.
Remember when the craziest cultural ideas stayed in dystopian novels? Yeah, those days are over. We're living in the brave new world now, and it showed up faster than anyone expected it to. Social media didn't just change how we communicate, it changed how everyone thinks. And if you're not ready as a Christian to defend what you believe about gender and sexuality and race and entertainment and a dozen other hot button issues, you're gonna get steamrolled. Wretched Worldview 2 picks up where the first one left off. Todd Friel and Dr. Nathan Busnitz tackled 22 more issues through a biblical lens: critical race theory, modesty, persecution, environmentalism, secular entertainment, and more. The stuff you're actually seeing in the headlines and hearing at your dinner table. Because the Christian worldview is under assault and, I don't know, isn't going to cut it anymore. Wretched Worldview 2 is available in streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign, and we chose that name for a reason. The church has been quietly backing up for years. A doctrine gets a little uncomfortable, a truth sounds a little too exclusive, so we set it aside. And before long, the gospel your church is preaching sounds more like an apology than an announcement. Fortis Institute is determined to push the other direction, to encourage churches to hold fast to hard truth and to proclaim the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ rightly and loudly. That's why we're inviting you to join us on the No Retreat Spring Match campaign. Right now, through the end of May, every dollar you give is matched, dollar for dollar, and your gift will help launch two new podcasts, publish Todd Friel's new book, Go Serve Your King, through HarperCollins, and fund gospel proclamation on college campuses. The gospel doesn't move backward, and neither should we. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. The book of Obadiah is a prophecy against the nation of Edom, who were descendants of Jacob's brother, Esau. Obadiah's message is clear. God will punish those who persecute his people. When you face troubles of any kind, turn to the Lord. Renew your faith in him, for he cares for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vatican, heal thyself. Viltafish, that was dreadful. This is Wretched Radio. That was supposed to be Johnny Carson doing Karnak the Magnificent or something. Maybe that's why the impersonation failed. I don't even know who I'm impersonating. Let's go to the Vatican. You don't even know who that was.
I have no idea.
Oh, that, you know Johnny Carson?
I know Johnny Carson.
Okay, Karnak the Magnificent.
Yep, nope, not
a clue. He used to come out with a turban. He'd trip up the stair. And then he would make a prediction. He had little cards inside of an envelope. He would hold it to his forehead and he would tell you what's inside of the envelope. And then he'd open it up and then read the card, and it would be a joke.
Ah.
Okay, let me Let me just, I actually remember one of them. It was the one that I remember actually seeing when I was a kid and busting a gut. So he holds up the card to his forehead. Sis, boom, ba. Sis, boom, ba. And then he opens up the envelope, takes out the card. Describe the sound a sheep makes before it explodes. Sis, boom, ba. What that was. Right there. Hey, as a kid, it was funny. All right? I was six or something.
Still, it's still funny.
Sis, boom, ba. What?
I get it.
What it was. I'm not making it any funnier by repeating it, am I? Pope Leo, he went to Monaco. That's a pretty wealthy. In fact, that might be like one of the most densely wealthy, populated, whatever, however you put those sentences, those words together, area in the globe. There's a lot of rich people there. Every good place in our hands, said the Pope, bears an intrinsic need not to be held back, but to be shared, so that everyone's life may be better. In other words, he was telling the rich people of Monaco that you need to give your money away. I'm pretty sure that he flew in on a helicopter from the Vatican. Now, I've never flown a helicopter, but I'm pretty certain it's not cheap. Furthermore, the house he lives in, probably bigger than any house in Monaco. The art collection of the Vatican, bigger than any art collection in all of Italy. That's in fact, maybe the whole globe. It is like an amazing museum at the Vatican. Not to mention the people even think it could be trillions of dollars, and the Pope scolding rich people to give their money away. I see. He gave the prince, so he visited with the Prince of Monaco. I think this is ironic too. A colorful artwork created by the Vatican's mosaic studio. It was an image of St. Francis of Assisi, a 13th century son of a prosperous Italian merchant who renounced his inheritance to help the poor. See what he did there? But one wonders, what was the cost of that Vatican mosaic of St. Francis of Assisi? How much did that cost? Apparently the streets were not lined with followers. Apparently the new Pope hasn't gained a whole lot of popularity, at least yet. Pope Leo, in another story from the New York Post, hosts exorcist summit at the Vatican over fears of worldwide surge in Satanism. I'm pretty sure the reformers would make a joke there, and it might be funnier than Sis Boom Ba, which I know the bar isn't very high, but the point is, really, he's concerned about that. Oh, what was... Did you see the interview? There's a young man. His name is Bryce Crawford, I believe. He's mega popular on YouTube. I think he's under the age of 20. He goes out into the streets and he has these encounters and he gets hundreds of thousands of views on every video. Super popular kid. Somehow he finagled an interview with Ken Copeland. Ken Copeland came onto the interview wearing this garish red, white, and blue leather jacket, like he was wearing a leather flag on himself. Weird. But the kid, here's the irony of it. His shirt, this young man's shirt said, "I hate Satan." And yet he was interviewing him, basically. Sorry, but that's Ken Copeland. If that man does not qualify for being a false teacher, the word has no meaning. If we can't, and furthermore, there was another example of the incoherence. Now, this is, I grant you, of a different sort. He's a word, faith, prosperity guy. But what he would say to this kid, it's like, I tried to track him and it's like, you're not making any sense. I know you're talking like Bible language and such, but it's like, dude, you're incoherent with your ramblings. And I don't think he's 90 years old. He actually seemed pretty sharp. I mean, totally wrong on everything he said, but he seemed pretty sharp. And yet, it didn't make any sense. And the young man, it's going to be interesting to, I wonder where this kid was coming from. I don't know what his background is, but he kept saying, you know, the problem that I have with the prosperity gospel, and he would try to articulate it, but Ken Copeland was wise enough to cut him off. and, you know, kind of jump on something and move away from it. Because to defend his prosperity, the kid probably said it, I kid you, at least six times. You know, the issue with the prosperity gospel that I have is when I see people who are poor, well, let me just tell you about that. And he couldn't even finish his sentence because he had to cut him off because he knew if the kid kept talking, it could cause problems for him. And as I watched the interview, at least as much as I could stomach, oh, he flip-flopped and changed. Well, see, now prosperity doesn't always mean that. Please, you're all about money. You're all about private jets and red, white, and blue leather jackets. It was an atrocity, honestly. Pope Leo saying Jesus doesn't listen to prayers of those who wage war. That's interesting. So I guess God didn't hear the prayers of David or any of the kings that he told to go to war because God directed them in their battles. Quote, Jesus did not arm himself or defend himself or fight any war. Oh, this is... Jimmy, I'm thinking of somebody that we heard from last week that was talking like this. It's like, that Jesus was a loser. Who was that was saying that last week? Do you remember?
Yes. Oh, just a moment.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean to give you a synapse. I thought maybe what happened in there? You disappeared from me for a second.
I was trying to think.
Jesus did not arm himself or defend himself or fight any war. Well, actually, he was fighting a war. It was a cosmic spiritual battle. And he didn't arm himself or defend himself because he was purposefully going to the cross, he was going to die for sinners. But rather, he revealed the gentle face of God who always rejects violence. No, God doesn't always reject it because he is the one who commanded the Jewish people in the Old Testament to go to war. Does he like it? No. But are there times when it can be just? And the answer is yes, it can be. When God commands war, it is just. So the Pope is repainting God apparently as a pacifist. Quote, rather than saving himself, he allowed himself to be nailed to the cross. No, it was God's prearranged plan, embracing every cross borne in every time and place throughout human history. Therefore, God does not listen to the prayers of those who wage war, but rejects them, saying, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. That can't be true. Because war, while we do not rejoice in it, is sometimes a necessary governmental duty. Furthermore, I wonder if the Pope, if somebody started to attack the Vatican, would use his security guards to defend it. Of course, he would. Quote, this is revealing too, and it's a reminder the Roman Catholic Church is indeed universalistic. We hear the painful groans of all those who are oppressed by violence and are victims of war. God is love. Have mercy. Lay down your weapons. Remember that you are brothers and sisters. No, we are not all brothers and sisters. Different religions are, well, just that, different religions. And speaking of Roman Catholics, J.D. Vance apparently is going to get into the vault to reveal those records on UFOs, but he said, I don't think they're aliens. I think they're demons. I actually think that he's right, that some of them are. That why wouldn't we as Christians, rather than saying space alien in the sky, why wouldn't we say demonic activity or some sort of demonic bibbidi-bobbidi in order to confuse us or to think that there's UFOs? Furthermore, Jason Lyle, I think we've got a video at FortisPlus.org, free. Jason Lyle talked about UFOs. Most of the time when we finally kind of like figure out that picture, it's a sun flare. It could be a drone, something from the military that they're testing. We almost always get to explain them. One of the explanations, I think J.D. Vance is right. It could be demonic. But even if we can't identify the object, then it is indeed just that, an unidentified flying object, because we can't identify it. And so to assume that it's a space alien is to, I think, import a desire that there's alien life someplace else into something that we simply cannot describe. Who is the person that was talking like the Pope?
James Tallarico in his Easter sermon from last year.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that just went through my heart. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.